Hey, welcome back to the Five Project. Today's guest is AJ. Nice to have you on, AJ. Tell them about what you do and get into that a little bit. Yeah.
Thank you. So I guess I'll start with a little background on myself. So graduated from Duke University 2018, started my job as a consultant. So right now I'm a financial consultant at one of the top consulting firms in Atlanta. And on the side, though, what I do is I'm currently an Airbnb host. I also do a little bit of wholesaling, but we won't get into that. Also do some tax lien investing. And I just actually registered my LLC. So we're going to start acquiring some properties and putting it in the holding
company. So tell us a bit more about the Airbnb. How old are you?
Yeah, also? So I just turned 24.
That's crazy. That's nothing. There's so many young people, even in Atlanta alone, that's what the whole point of the podcast is. It's like there are no limits. It's your age really doesn't define you. If you want the hustle, you know, you're going to go get it.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really cool because, like, I've been meeting a lot of people like yourself. Mm-hmm. Agent Dooley, shout out to him. Also, like, a lot of other young people in Atlanta that are just killing the game.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of big things. And
but the thing is, they're quiet relative to the flexors and the people acting like they're doing it. And the crazy thing is, people think that these guys doing big things are flexing, when in reality, we're doing huge things and not even posting them. It's like, yes, we'll post one or two cars, but we don't post the other cars we own, or we don't post the places we're going. It's just insane. So there's a lot of money. The real money is hidden in the back door. It's like, so that's why the point of this is to get it out there, to, you know, clear out the misrepresentations, the misunderstandings of the industry. So, like, a little bit more about the Airbnb.
Yeah. So I bought my first house. I was 23, and this was actually six or seven months ago in May. Really, when I bought the house, I had the idea of just, making money from it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to make sure it was an investment, not just a house for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? So I bought a 4-bedroom house, 2.5 bath, and my plan was I had two options. Mm-hmm. It was either to have roommates and charge per room,
mm-hmm.
or just go Airbnb. And I wanted to play with both because I wanted to see, okay, which one is more lucrative? Which one is going to make me feel more comfortable in my space? So what I decided was I'm going to start with Airbnb first.
And did you plan on living in the house as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to get into that too. So I guess I'll just start off with my journey with Airbnb. So I started out sharing my house.
Okay.
So that means I was occupying one space and I was renting out all other rooms while I was there.
Okay.
And this is kind of like your private room listing on Airbnb. Mm-hmm. You have two listings on Airbnb. You have private rooms and you have entire house. So what I did was I started out with private room listing. You guys can get three bedrooms. It's a 4-bedroom house, like I said. So you get 3 bedrooms and you get the kitchen and everything else to yourself. I stay out of your way while you stay. Started out, it was pretty good. It was pretty lucrative. It was paying, so from a finance perspective, it was paying off the mortgage.
Okay.
Just the mortgage with me living there.
Utilities or not?
Not utilities yet.
Okay.
So this is where I kind of had to switch it up. Because it was getting a little awkward, as you might imagine, right? You had people coming into the house. You don't really know them. You know, they're sharing the same space. And, of course, I stayed out of their way. But, you know, it was just, like, getting a little weird. So what I ended up doing was I stopped sharing the house. I ended up doing entire house. So with that, I was able to up my price. And I was able to, you know, get a little more traction. Because a lot of people didn't want it. They didn't feel comfortable as well.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed that they were less people booking the property because they saw that it was shared.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I opened up to entire house, I got a lot more traction. I had bookings every single weekend.
Where's the area? Where's it in?
So it's by the airport, actually. It's about 10 minutes from the airport, which is very convenient for me because as a consultant, I travel Monday to Thursday usually if my client's out of town. So, it's very close to the airport. People who are coming in, going out. I have some people drove up from Florida. They're making their way to Virginia. They stop in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta's the place to be. I mean, for most people. So
that's nice. So now you're occupying the full house. Is it paying for the mortgage and utilities?
I was gonna get to that. You know, so now it's paying for the mortgage and the utilities and an extra $200 net. So
nice.
I mean, from a cash flow perspective, like anything over the mortgage, right? Like even the utilities could be considered, like, honestly, it could be like 400 cash flow.
Because really you have a house that's paying itself off.
Right.
But where are you living now?
Yeah, so when I do rent it out on Airbnb, I go to my mom's.
You know, I mean, you still got it's still a hustle, man. Look, I'm trying to pay off a house. For him to be 24 and paying off a house and owning equity in a house while not paying for it and it's working for itself, that's insane. Like, within itself, that is awesome. So maybe 5, 6 years, 10 years from now, when you want to settle in your own house, you just move back, you know, renovate the place, maybe clean it up because it's been used for a long time with a lot of people.
Right.
And you have a house that's paid for and you didn't work for it. Right. It worked for itself.
Yep.
So it's really cool. But somebody trying to get into the industry, what are you going to tell them? Because you probably saw a lot of courses, a lot of videos, mm-hmm. missed things that weren't accurate. Like, give us some insight on how to get started and what to avoid.
Right. So with Airbnb, it's a lot of things that I had to learn through iteration. So that means I started out, I posted the listing. But there were a lot of things that I didn't know about in terms of like rules and security deposit. You know, you have to list out things on your property. Like you have cameras, they need to be, you have to tell them whether they're recording or not, you know, all of that. Like you have to really get detailed with Airbnb, which makes sense because there are a lot of liability issues. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of compliance.
What about insurance? Is it commercial insurance? Is it like, what type of insurance do you get to cover the house?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just have the personal, you know, home insurance.
Because a family friend of mine owns an insurance agency. He mentioned that somebody had a case like that, which is crazy. And the thing was, the insurance didn't cover it because they were covering somebody living in the house.
Oh,
you might have to look into that. Yeah, but it's crazy because when you're using your house as a commercial tool to make you money, and you're not living it anymore, insurance company does not want to give you money. No matter what, their goal is to not give you the money because they lose money. So they're going to look into your house and find out who's listed on Airbnb. You could claim it was family staying, whatever, but they're going to look into it and they're going to be like, wait, you didn't mention this. So maybe look into commercial insurance. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. But there is a lot of risk, actually. A lot of people don't talk about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you mentioned it. Some of the things that I've experienced is, you know, damages to the property. I mean, a lot of people don't talk about that, but And it's kind of weird, right? It's kind of like we always give reviews on our Airbnb stays, but we never really hear the Airbnb host. We never really hear what the host has to say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why this channel or this podcast or this video is really important, because you really get the perspective of an Airbnb host. So like for me, I've had people have altercations in the property.
Like, okay,
so my last experience, you know, this girl, I guess she was trying to get into the room of her boyfriend. Which I wasn't there. I rented out the entire house.
Oops. You're fine. You're fine.
And basically, she ended up stabbing one of my doors.
What?
She stabbed my door. Like, literally, I have pictures that I didn't bring with me, but I have stab marks on one of my brand new doors. By the way, the house is brand new, so I'm the first person to live in it, and anything that's in that house is just totally new. So the fact that I have stab markings on one of my brand new doors really hurts.
So how'd you charge? Like, did you charge her for it? Or?
So basically, like, and this is one thing I will say about Airbnb. They have reimbursed me for every damage that I've claimed.
Really?
Every damage. Yeah. There are sometimes it gets finicky where, like, I had one guest run over my mailbox on the way out. And, like, literally my mailbox is leaning over.
Bro, they're just sabotaging your place. This is insane.
Yeah, it's not a great feeling, honestly. So, I mean, that's one of the things I'd mention. So
it does come with, you know, it's not so simple. You just put your place and all nice. And what about cleaning? Do you pay someone to do it? Do you go in there yourself? Or
so I started out cleaning it myself. Mm-hmm. That was saving me a lot of money. I think about $120 a pop. Every time that I would clean it myself and save myself up.
And what are you cleaning? You have to, is there like a guideline you have to wash the sheets? And I'm sure it's normal to do it, but do you have to do it on Airbnb guideline? Can you throw new sheets? Like, what's the rules on that?
So, you know, I actually haven't read into that. I don't know if they, you know, tell us whether to. I think most people do it just because of reviews. Sake,
yeah,
right?
Makes
like,
sense.
You
want to
make sure that people aren't going to say that the sheets are dirty or anything like that. So for me, I always wash and clean every single thing, even if the bed hadn't been used. I just do it just for peace sake. And, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like, you know.
Of course, the stay matters. And what about reviews? So when somebody gives you, have you ever gotten a low review from somebody?
I did get a 4-star review.
That's not low, but like,
I mean, for Airbnb, reviews are very important, by the way. If you don't have at least a 4.8, I believe is the cutoff, you have no chance of becoming a super host.
Really?
Which is really important. I think super host gives you a lot of like edge up. Like, you can up your price. They push you up and everything. Yeah, everything is just better when you're a super host. So, for me, it's just like, I got a 4-star review because the lady, she didn't know that I would be on the property. I had it in my listing that, you know, it was a shared, you know, shared accommodation, but she didn't read it. She showed up. She was shocked that I was there, and she gave me a 4-star review, which really had nothing to do with the actual stay because I was never really there, but I only introduced myself. And, you know, that, you can't please everybody. That's what I learned as well with Airbnb. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's been great so far. Like I said, right now I'm paying my mortgage and the utilities. If I ever want, I mean, if you look at it, right, like I live in the property. So basically, if someone else is paying for the house and the utilities, like I can pay for my own utilities. Right? Yeah. So the money that I'm making for the utilities, I could just pocket it and consider that.
I just find it so cool because I was looking into doing it myself.
Yeah.
What would you do if you had to restart? If you had to restart completely, what would you do differently?
You know, I think I probably wouldn't have started out sharing the house. I would have started out doing the entire house first and just going to my mom from the beginning. I think that's a small caveat though, right?
Like,
if I had I not done it the way I did, I would have felt like I should have shared the house first. You know what I mean? So everything is kind of different in retrospect when you look back.
I got you. But did you renovate it in any way, or did you just buy it up, like, all pre-done?
The house?
Yeah, was it ready to go?
Yeah, the house, like I said, was brand new. Everything was pristine condition. Brand new paint. It still smells brand new to this day. So
that is cool, man.
So
that is cool.
I really think I lucked out.
I've also heard of people doing like floor, for example, like if you have a basement, 3-floor, with the basement, you could rent out the basement and then live on the top, or vice versa and stuff so like that. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, that's house hacking. That's actually ideal, honestly. Like, you have your own space, you can give them an entire space while you still
have your
own. Because
you can give each family a different floor, in a sense, and that likewise also works in a building if you have some condos or something.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's exactly what I was trying to shoot for, but because I don't have a basement, I really just had to kind of do with what I was given, you know what I mean? Be creative in that sense, so that's what I did.
So there's a lot of misconceptions out there that, like, you know, Airbnb hosting and stuff like that. You know, what are those misconceptions that you think, like, happen that put more reality onto it?
So the questions were some crazy what are some misconceptions of Airbnb hosting, of buying a house and having it pay for itself in Airbnb? And what would you say that?
I guess a lot of people feel like they can just, I don't know. From a guest perspective, I know guests tend to feel like when they rent an Airbnb that they can do whatever they want with the space because they're paying for it. And that is not the case at all. Like, there are a lot of people who own these houses and really cherish these homes. And when you come in
and party, and smoke them out.
You smoke them out. Like, I've had somebody smoke in a room, and that really, I live there. Like, it's not something that I would want. And I just feel like guests don't really think about that. But from a host perspective, I think some of the things that I didn't really think about prior is just, you know, just having different people in and out of your home, especially when you're not there. You never know what could happen. You know, someone could try to leave a window open, you know, or someone could be hiding under your bed once you come back to your property. You know, there's a lot of safety precautions that are just overlooked when it comes to, like, being
it's
a host.
It's kind of scary, I just thought about it. What if somebody's hot? That's scary as shit.
Or just, like, they could plan something where they unlock one of the windows and you don't check every window when you come back. You know what I mean? And then they just plot against you and try to, you know, take.
Damn, bro, you've been watching a hell of movies or something. I don't know, that shit's scary. But damn, yeah. But seems awesome. If you guys want to get started, if you want to shoot AJ a message, what's your IG? Like, where can they contact you?
Yeah, so you can find me on IG at Mr. Prodigy. That's MR.PRODIGYY. I also have a website, alanjamar.com. That's ALANJAMAR.com.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you for coming. I think you have one more question.
Yeah. So, you know, someone who sees this, or someone who follows you, right? They want to get started, right? They are 21 years old.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So someone's 21, they want to get started, what do they do? That was a question.
So of course, first you have to have a space that you can put on Airbnb. Once you get that, you want to decorate it or do whatever you set it up the way you want it to be. And then after that, I mean, just it's really easy, honestly. Like, posting a listing on Airbnb is pretty easy, I must say. So as long as you have a space, you have an address, You have an accommodation, whether it's a couch, a bed, or rooms. You know, just
what would take be the process pictures. Of acquiring the space? Like, would you take out a loan in hopes of leasing it out? Or what should be the mindset going into it? Should it be a pure commercial standpoint? Will it make you money back fast enough? Or should it be in the sense of I plan on living? Like, what should be that?
It really varies. Like, it could be a primary residence. It could be a room in the house that you're living in. Like, okay. I actually lived at my father's house and considered, you know, putting up one room on Airbnb. If you have a basement in your home, you could do that now. Like,
so it'd be easier to start with something you already have,
right?
If possible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I know that there is some Airbnb arbitrage. It's a trend where basically you go to an apartment complex, you mm-hmm. rent it out, you
like
pay
subleasing
rent,
it, in a sense,
right?
Yeah.
And you sublease it, so you could put your apartment on Airbnb.
We have to check the rules on that because it's getting really serious. People are getting super mad,
zones.
But
yeah.
Yeah,
people are getting kicked out for that, but
check the rules. I think that's
are.
A good way to start. Because look, realistically, if you're doing something like this, you need to have some type of capital saved up. It's a house, right? You need insurance. There's a lot of things that go into it. Cool, but a cool way to start: find a complex that is not against subleasing. There aren't that many though. A lot of people are against subleasing, but figure that out. You know, what's at risk here? 8 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years of rent versus, you know, $300,000 house, $400,000 house, getting a loan taken out. So that'd be a cool way to start, honestly, if you get a good location. But
yeah, and from a home owning perspective, as a young person, I just want to put this out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as, you know, a lot of people say, like, you know, I can't afford a $200,000 house. There are 3% down programs, you know, for first time home buyers, which is something that I took advantage of. And really, for my house, I mean, I paid less than $200,000 for it, for a brand new house at near the airport. I feel like I found a great deal. But I put 3% down, which is about $5,500 or so. That's all I needed to come out of pocket. So if you have $5,000, you could buy a house.
But just make sure your cash flow is set straight. But that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. So many people are going to buy a house after this. And then like a year later, like, fuck, bro. AJ, why'd you fucking not just play? But look, you know, take caution. Houses is a big deal, but it is easier than ever to get into one if you have the correct cash flow. So we're going to wrap it up with that. Thank you, AJ.
Hey, thank you.
And, you know, take it easy, everybody. All right, I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Bye. See ya.